Well, a very, very warm welcome to St Margaret's, and well done. It's chilly here. One of the things to mention to you is that obviously you'll see in the news that the rules and regulations relating to COVID and face masks and what we can do and can't do are changing. The way it works is that the government makes the announcement that things are going to change, and then the Church of England centrally negotiates with the various government departments that are involved to work out how the change, the announcement affects churches, 10,000 churches in the UK, and how that's actually going to play out in the churches. So we don't know yet what will happen. Of course, logically, what would happen is the Church of England would negotiate before the announcement, so when they make the announcement, we would know. But of course, obviously, it's not going to work that way. So we hear sometime afterwards. But obviously, it'll come out in the weekly news sheet and the website as to how the church is going to respond with face masks and all the rest of it. So welcome to St Margaret's and to those who are watching from their beds at home. And welcome to also to Robert, who's playing the organ for us this morning, and to Mary, who's preaching later on. And a particular thanks to our readers this morning, who have two quite challenging readings. So well done to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there. So, Father, we welcome your presence among us this morning. Lord, we love your presence. Father, would you wrap your loving arms around each one of us and us here as your people gathered. Lord, we might know your strength and your protection, your love and your grace surrounding us, filling us and inspiring us. Lord, for above and beyond everything else, it's you that we need. So, Father, may our words, our thoughts, our singing be acceptable and pleasing to you this morning by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So follow our service, grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So our first hymn, number 488, Rock of Ages cleft for me, with course of the line, simply to thy cross I cling. It's that prayer of utter commitment and dedication to God. Number 488.
Thank you.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. We take a moment just to be quiet in the presence of something holy beyond our comprehension of what holiness can be, and power beyond our comprehension, and love beyond our understanding. And before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life and the lives of others and the life of the world. So may God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. And the collect for today. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so now Jean and then Marie are going to come with our readings. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But the God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. And that should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lovely picture in Nehemiah of where the whole people of God are gathered in the temple for the whole morning, a massive long session as they read the Bible and the Levites preached. So before Mary comes to preach to us, we're going to sing a number 192, How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him Who Brings Good News, number 192, and it's the first of the two versions, the popular one. Thank you.
Who brings good news? Hear the Gospel of the Lord according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 15. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please sit down. Enthusiasm and January are not two words we tend to put together. And January is often associated with January blues, a situational depression associated with how we think and feel and commonly known as sad. And it's believed by doctors to be related to how the body responds to sunlight. So, how are you feeling today? However, we have been through the short days of winter, and light, as you probably noticed, is now returning to our days. And yet those short winter days of December, along with all the excess that goes on in December, seems to catch up with us in January and causes us to feel, well, a bit blue, a bit negative. Now, apparently the best antidote to all this is to get outside, and if you see any sunshine, go and stand in it. Try and get plenty of sleep, eat simply, and don't be over ambitious with those January New Year resolutions. And yes, I get it too. If it's enthusiasm we need in a Christian sense, then the reading from Nehemiah is interesting in a number of ways. Firstly, it seems unusual to have an Old Testament reading where you're not being told you're a load of snivelling wretches, to put it succinctly. What we have here, though, is a powerful and faithful proclamation in acknowledging the ability of God's work to break yokes, while evoking tears of repentance and joy. Have you noticed the enthusiasm you find with people who've just discovered that life-saving diet, got a new pastime? And also with new Christians, they seem to have a zest and enthusiasm and radiate what seems like an unquenchable source of joy, reminding us that for God, all things are possible. Often, those who are new in Christ help us to see how complacent our relationship with God has become, how lukewarm our dedication to God's divine plan for us. Ezra's encouraging words, "Do not mourn," affirm God's forgiveness. Now, at first glance, our readings this morning don't seem to have an overarching theme, but the issue of ministry is woven throughout. Jesus' understanding of his ministry, articulated at its beginning, echoes the grand themes of the law, which is celebrated in the Nehemiah text. Ministry calls for many types of people and gifts, but all these are joined together as the body of Christ, as Paul affirms in this Corinthians reading. We're bound together by the gift and the precepts of the law, which guide our understanding and practice of ministry. So perhaps this is why the gospel holds such importance in worship and evangelism. God's word gently reminds us of his love and our sinful frailties. It pierces our hearts, brings repentance, gives ongoing reassurance, and allows us to move closer to God. And as we learn to accept God's will for our lives, those tears of repentance vanish. They're swept away by joyous celebration as we come to recognize how God's protective arm has faithfully been at work in our lives, ever present, guiding and drawing us towards reconciliation. In our verses from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he concentrates on his familiar image of the church as the body of Christ, with all the different parts functioning harmoniously as in a healthy human body. The image is an inspired one and particularly appropriate, but is so familiar to us that we are at risk of not fully hearing its message. Today we focus not so much on Paul's teaching about the body and the functioning of its various parts, but on his questions towards the end of the chapter regarding different vocations. So is there a veiled reference here to the combative and competitive nature of the Corinthian church that exercised Paul earlier in the epistle? And are people within the church vying for the best positions? Are some vocations being seen as more worthy than others? So how does Paul's teaching relate to our own experience of church life? Is there a challenge here for us and our competitive and envious human natures? Are we able to be content with the particular work God has given us to do? Or do we envy the supposed better role of another? Jesus chided Martha, who feared her sister Mary had a better position than her own. And when at the end of John's Gospel, Peter asked Jesus about the future of the beloved disciple, Jesus' answer is blunt and uncompromising. What is that to you? Follow me. Jesus returns from his struggle in the wilderness, filled with the Spirit and able to set out with clarity the very core of his vocation as Messiah and our vocation as his followers. The so-called Nazareth Manifesto was in fact already an ancient prophecy, which you find in Isaiah, when Jesus declared and fulfilled it on this day. And when we hear it now some 2,000 years later, it seems just as pertinent and just in need of fulfillment as then. And yet here is the paradox. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, it has and it hasn't. It was fulfilled in the sense that Christ, the one about whom the scripture was written, was there in their midst, just as Isaiah had prophesied. The prophecy had come true. But it was not entirely fulfilled then, nor has it even now, in the sense that the tasks the Lord has set his anointed, bringing good news to the poor, release to captives, freedom to the oppressed, are not yet complete. Christ began this work, but he calls his followers, his church, to continue and complete it, in him and with him. To be a Christian is to be in Christ, which means anointed, and therefore to be part of fulfilling of this prophecy, and therein lies our hope. Every sharing of this good news, every liberation of a captive, every proclamation of God's grace in the teeth of opposition, against all the odds, is a step towards that fulfillment. Our actions in his name are also Christ's actions in us, and in him the fulfillment all these things will come. So, cast off the January blues. Recommended cure in the spiritual sense? Regular reading of the scriptures. Take time to enjoy the beauty of the natural world prayerfully. Take a few early nights allow the Eucharist to feed and nourish you, and through our collective worship, feel ready to face the coming week. And return next week for another dose of the good news. Amen.
Mary, thank you. Let's just take a moment of quiet. We got time this morning just to reflect on kind of what God wants to say to each one of us. It may be where we've failed in those things that Mary has said, or maybe that ministry of Jesus where he has set us free from being captives. Or maybe it's our ministry to set other people free, the ministry of Jesus. So a moment just to reflect on that. For you alone are our strength and shield. To you alone do our spirits yield. Amen. And so we stand to sing our next hymn, number 27, As the Deer Pants for the Water, number 27. Would you please be seated as Roger and Christine come to lead us in our intercessions. Roger comes to lead us into our intercessions. Let us pray.
I will say the prayers and then at the end we'll say together the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our clergy and our Bible readings in St. Margaret's today, and for sending the world your dear Son Jesus to announce in Nazareth that he is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves, that we should trust that spring will arrive and COVID restrictions will decrease And we should be confident in showing that we ourselves are Christians and therefore parts of the body of the church. Help us to be kind to one another and invite newcomers to come and see our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that your beautiful world will become safe for all the nations suffering from COVID and other illnesses. We pray for peace in our world and for threats and conflicts to be settled without violence or wars. We pray for our world leaders that they will oppose evil, corruption, and oppression. We pray that compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will overcome anger and bullying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing the difficulties of illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for those on our notice sheet: Eve Nelson, John Watts, Jill and David Winder, and the friends and family of Jeff Manners, and the friends and family of Paul Burrow. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in a beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Help each one of us to be apostles of Jesus. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers. Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And now together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Roger, thank you. So we now stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. We believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our closing hymn, number 148, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 148, and we receive the offertory during this hymn.
Thank you.
Please do join us over in the sanctuary for coffee and biscuits straight after this, and we can be the family of God and sharing gifts with one another. So our blessing. And I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.